The Beat 102-103 Southeast Sports Star of the Month Award on Sports Beat Roundup.
Tipperary senior hurlers are our Beat Southeast Sports Star of the Month Award winners for August after beating Kilkenny to win their 28th All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. It's been a phenomenal first season back for Liam Sheedy, who's won every single game of the 2019 Hurling Championship, barring the Munster final against Limerick. Having been behind to the Cats early on, the Premier County turned things around, winning by a huge 14 points and scoring three goals in the process. We spoke to Sheedy yesterday, having just returned from a well-deserved holiday. So we're delighted to be joined on the line by Tipperary senior hurling manager Liam Sheedy, after Tipperary are Beat Southeast Sports Star of the Month award winners for August. Liam, first of all, how have you been in the last few weeks? A whirlwind couple of days around the All-Ireland and everything that follows when you win it, but I suppose last week probably is your first opportunity to kind of sit back and reflect on it.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's great. I suppose, you know, it's a nice feeling when you go and win the All-Ireland. We had a hectic few days scheduled, obviously, you know, with the few days immediate afterwards. I suppose we celebrated as a squad, so that was lovely. I suppose you get a bit of downtime with the lads. I suppose it was all very, very serious up to that. And look, I got away for a few days with my family there for the last few days, so we got away to get a bit of recovery time, because it was probably, you know, with the build-up to the match and the match itself, it certainly does take its toll. So it was nice to get a chance to relax and chill out for a few days. So, yeah, as I said, it's very pleasing, I suppose, to get to be All-Ireland Champions 2019. I suppose that's your goal at the start of the year, so it's nice when you get there and have achieved it. So yeah, it's very, very satisfying, I guess, right now. I was very, very lucky. I inherited a really, really good squad from Mike Ryan. You know, he did a great job done with it. Myself and Mick were very, very close, and obviously we're working colleagues in Bank of Ireland, so you know, it was good to get I had a full understanding of what the makeup of the group was before I went in. It was good to have that insight. Said that, look, you know, again, all the credit goes to the panel. I mean, you know, all 40 of them put in just a huge effort over the last number of months, and it's great to see all their hard work has paid off, and it got rewarded, I suppose, by winning the biggest prize. You know, I made no secret of the fact that, you know, I suppose in Tipperary, we, you know, that we've had a lot of decades where we've had very little success, you know. But I think when they look back in this decade, you know, to see that, you know, Shamie and these guys have got three, a lot of the panel have two, and some guys have now come along and, you know, won their first one, but, you know, I've probably put a minor and an under 21 and a 20 on the back of that as well. So, like, that's very, very pleasing. And just as a group, you know, it wasn't about the older guys, it wasn't about the younger guys, it wasn't about the guys in the middle, it was just about collectively they came together and they really, really put their shoulders to the wheel. And as I said, it's full testament to the group that we started with 40 back in November 2018, and we finished with the same 40 at the end of August 2019. So that just tells you, I suppose, the effort and commitment that each one of them gave. No more so than the last few weeks. I think it's the journey you go on over the throughout the season is probably what would be the memory that we'll carry the most. You know, as I said, when our backs were to the wall and when the pressure was on and when we had to go seriously at it at training, and any time the questions were asked, they come up with the answers. And I suppose that's really, as I said, it's probably not one particular moment, it's more about the whole culmination of the 2019 season.
How was it feeling to come back there again for the second time? And you know, I know you win it the first time, but to come back and do it again must have been particularly satisfying.
I've seen firsthand now in 2010 and again in 2019, like, the impact that Ellie McCarthy has on old people and on young people and on all age groups. And, you know, whether you're going into a nursing home or into your own field, I mean, I would say, you know, it was a special night coming back into my own Portrow GA field on the Wednesday night after the All-Ireland. You know, I suppose that community and that parish has given me so much over the last number of years, and it was nice to be able to come back in, and great turnout of the players on the night as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, as I said, hopefully that will instill younger guys to go and follow the game and play the game of hurling, because, you know, I've seen a picture from 2010 where the cup was, and you know, you got the Jake Morrises and the Craig Morgans and these guys that were in the front row for the picture in 2010, you know, when the cup came to their school, and here they are 9 years on, and they've got an All-Ireland senior medal, and they've got an All-Ireland under 20 medal. So, you know, I think, you know, when your flagship team is going well and you're bringing back cups into communities right around the county, I think the impact it has is significant, and it certainly isn't lost on me. But it's also really sweet to see what it means to the older people that maybe thought they might never get to see or put their hands on Liam McCarthy again. So,
looking into the future, I mean, what are the next couple of weeks hold now for you? Is it break time, and how long is it before you guys get back into the camp again and you start thinking about 2020?
Yeah, and no, look, for us, it's about, you know, the lads have gone back to their clubs, you know, I suppose that's where they came from. You know, the heartbeat of our county here is our club structure, and, you know, they've got important rounds of games happening this weekend and for the next number of weekends, so that will be their focus for the next number of weeks. And, you know, I suppose in between they'll get a chance to savour and enjoy, you know, maybe taking the Lee McCarthy Cup to their school or to their, whether it be primary or secondary school or into their parish. So, you know, all that will happen over the next coming weeks. And then, as I said, when the dust settles in late October, November, we'll probably look to get back together and just see what 2020 is all. I suppose there's no ultimate decisions have been made yet, so we'll look to the future in due course. But at the moment, it's really all about savouring 2019, because I suppose we, after having played 8 matches and won 7, you know, certainly I think the lads they deserve their time to have their little bit of downtime and savour what they've done, because I think it's been a superb year and they deserve great credit for that, and they certainly deserve a few weeks off.
Absolutely. And yourself, you're going to be back with the lads 2020 as Tipperary Senior Hurling Manager.
Well, as I said, we'll take everything in time. You know, as I said, I don't work off multiple years. I always say we'll take it 1 year at a time. So, you know, as I said, I'm basking in the glory of 2019 right now. And as I said, the conversations will happen in due course. But yeah, certainly, as I said, I've came back in 2019. And all I can tell you right now is I've really, really enjoyed my time back around the squad. And I suppose what they've given me in terms of their commitment. And, you know, I get energy from this group every time I get around them. So, yeah, certainly right now, as I said, we're just still focusing on 2019. And that will come in due course.
Following the Cats, Sports Beat Roundup.
Kilkenny will be hoping for better luck this Sunday when they face Galway in the All-Ireland Senior Camogie Championship final at Croke Park. Tomorrow will be the Cats' 6th final appearance in the last 7 years. However, Anne Downey's side have come away with only one O'Duffy Cup, beating Cork by 4 points in 2016. Having faced the Rebels in the last 3 finals, this time it's different opposition in the shape of the tribeswomen. There's also a change for Kilkenny with Brian Dowling in his first year as selector. And journalist Darrow Crohor says there's been some notable changes this year.
The most notable aspect of it was a clear evidence of a change of style. I mean, in terms of progress, it was fairly seamless, apart from, well, they'd won really tight game, and that was the first round opener back in June, which happened to be against Galway. Galway had beaten them at the end of March in the league final. That was March 31st. It's quite early in the year, and you just got a sense Galway were motoring really well then. Kilkenny looked sluggish. They were down a couple of players, but Kilkenny turned that around first round of the championship, I guess. Plenty of motivation. But really, again, that's early in the year for teams that know they're going to be in action in August. It was comfortable through the group, topped the group, got to the semi-final. Had a few hairy moments in the first 15 or 20 minutes, maybe against Tip. Who would have had the advantage of coming through the quarterfinal 2 weeks earlier. So Kilkenny would have been 4 weeks inactive. They opened up in the second half. I would say, you know, a bit greater conditioning and you know, longer on the road. And obviously the class of the forward line and the rest, they just got on top and won well. So maybe, you know, when you're looking at the two teams, you'd probably say, you know, Galway have definitely been to the well, tested more often, and I think you would like that going to a final, but that's, you know, there's nothing Kilkenny can do about that. But the big thing, Kevin, is that style of play. New coaches in this year, Brian Dowling, who won a couple of All-Irelands with Kilkenny at senior level, famously scored a winning point against Cork in the National League final. He's come in and, you know, obviously given carte blanche and by Anne Downey to put his stamp on it, and they're much more attacking, but they're crisp, they're really flowing, they're moving well. The forward line is a constant movement, and the big, you know, change personnel wise, I guess, is Anne Dalton moving to centre forward, where she scored 6-11 from play to date, which is phenomenal, and Claire Phelan has slotted in there at centre back. And just generally, they're looking really good. There'll obviously be more pressure on their backs in this, because they would have played quite defensively the last couple of years, so now they have to win their battles. It will be interesting in the final. You don't want to be giving up too much space to Niamh Kilkenny and Aoife Donoghue in the middle of the field, so I just wonder, you know, will they maybe, without going overly defensively, will they maybe just clog that middle area a little bit more? And still, you know, be able to move forward from their transition, as they say. So it's fascinating. It's interesting. I expect it to be open, and hopefully entertaining. The game so far on live TV have gone down very well. The attendances have been good, so hopefully it'll be more of the same in that regard. I don't expect anything but a puck of the ball between the teams in the game. Also, Kilkenny have met Galway quite a bit in the last few years. They've been regulars in the group stages of the championship. There wasn't much between them. I think a goal in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. Personnel-wise, they know each other, and while there's a couple of new players, you know, a lot of them are there going back a while. A lot of them are very experienced now. You know, Galway have plenty of players that played in the 2013 All-Ireland final. Kilkenny have players going back. A lot of players going back to the 2009 final. Plenty of experience. Obviously, huge hunger. It's the sixth final in the last 7 years, and they've only won one of the last five. And that, I think that grates with them. You know, Galway always had players that just probably played instinctively all the time, you know, and were maybe a little bit naive tactically. And, you know, but they have so many class players. And now that they have added to that sort of tactical nous and professionalism in all areas of preparation, they're competing on a level playing field. They have the players. You'd have spoken to Cork and Kilkenny players the last few years, and they would have said year in, year out, Galway, if they get it together, are a huge, huge threat, you know. And Galway have taken a lot of criticism, but they've actually only ever been a few points away all the time, you know. I'm not 100% sure. I'm not in any way 100%. I'm not. I'm about 60% one side and the other. But either team winning or a draw game would not surprise me.
The one thing is for sure, though, that there will be huge support there. The last time they were crowned champions, there was over 20,000. They're looking for 25,000 is the target for Sunday. So I suppose big hope that the crowds will come out and the girls will have a massive support at Croke Park.
Yeah, you know, and you know, there's a big drive, obviously, marketing-wise, and, you know, there would have been 33,000 before, but that would have been with the under-21 hurling, as it used to be at the time. So, you know, when you think of the membership and the number of clubs, you know, even compared to ladies football, which would probably have, you know, three times the number of clubs in Ireland, you know, and even the 50,000, which was phenomenal. So 25,000 would stack up magnificently, really, if you got it. It's an opportunity for Camogie now, because there is a drive and this ongoing campaign. Camogie leads all women's sport, you know, trying to increase the profile, trying to increase the coverage, and fair play to you for the brilliant coverage you've been always providing. But that is key. But to do that, you need to help yourself. And so you need people to go to illustrate media and commercial partners who will come in and row in if they see that they're going to get a big audience. So people, Camogie people, the Camogie family need to go and bring them to show them the Niamh Kilkennys, the Anne Daltons, you know, some of the greatest players that have ever played, and provide your girls with role models of their own gender rather than hurlers and dreams, and let the dream start like we all did when we grew up.
There'll be more interest in the intermediate final from a Kilkenny point of view. Official Liz Dempsey has come a long way since stepping into the inter-county fold in 2012, taking charge of the All-Ireland Club final earlier this year. And tomorrow she's on the line as Galway face Westmeath in the middle grade. But as Thomastown woman Dempsey explains, she's well used to GAA HQ.
I suppose I've been lucky enough. I've done four All-Irelands there in Croke Park now. I done the intermediate one in 2017, so this year I'm on the line for Galway and Westmeath Intermediate. So yeah, looking forward to it. It's, as you say, it's always an honour to be officiating in Croke Park.
How does officiating at Croke Park differ to, let's say, at any other ground?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a lot bigger pitch, and I suppose it's just the whole thing of Croke Park. But I suppose, as I said, I'm lucky enough to have done a couple of All-Irelands there. But every time you go, I suppose you'll always have a few nerves, and you know, it's always different. The club scene is that bit different to the inter-county. The club, you know, is more families, and I suppose girls are playing with girls that they've grown up with, and it's just a special day at the club All-Ireland. But then not taken from the inter-county, it's a great honour to get that one too. And as I say, you'll always be nervous going out in Croke Park, but once you get there and throw in the ball, you know, it's just another game and you get on with it.
Just, you refereed the semi-final Cork's, or the Galway's victory over Cork, should I say. Have you been able to give the Kilkenny girls any tips or any bit of advice from that game?
I suppose and Downey has been on, and you know, there's not, you know, they're just, they were very physical and very fast Galway, and they were up for it on the night, and you know, in fairness, they were the better team, and the better team won on the night. But look, and Downey won't be looking down that line. She'll do her own homework, and you know, I suppose Kilkenny will just look after their own house and hopefully get the result on Sunday.
It's Galway again, almost. It's funny that you're kind of referring them, you've the seniors and the intermediate team, Galway and Westmeath. Just what are you kind of expecting from these two teams? Have you been able to go back and look at some tapes and do a little bit of homework on them before the game?
No, not really. I don't really go down that line, in fairness. You know, I just take every game as it comes, but I haven't actually refereed Galway or Westmeath in the intermediate this year, but from what I'm hearing, you know, I think it's going to be a great game. Westmeath won intermediate 2 years ago, and, you know, they're in an intermediate final this year. So, I mean, there's great strides being made in Westmeath. They're probably young and experienced. Galway, as far as I know, are a young team too. And back in 2013, Galway were in both the intermediate and senior finals as well, with same management. And unfortunately, on that day, they got both victories as well. So I think we're in for a cracker of a game in the intermediate.
Well, have you been able to kind of prepare a little bit with the team that you'll have on Sunday? Have you officiated with them before, and what's the kind of relationship you have with those guys?
Yeah, well, last night actually we were in Croke Park for a briefing for Sunday, so we all got to meet up and, I suppose, go through a few things. I would have officiated. Andy Larkin is the ref for the intermediate game, so Andy would have done the line with me, and I would have done the line with him down through the years. So we would have worked together. So we'll probably meet up about 90 minutes before the game, and Andy will run through what he wants of us, and then we'll be the radios will be wired up, and then we'll get a quick talk to on the Hawkeye.
Right.
So that's what happens on the morning or the day of the game.
And have you worked with Hawkeye before?
I have. I would have worked with it in 2017 when I was doing the intermediate game.
Just from yourself, like if there was something in particular or any sort of set of things that you would change or you think might help the game flow a little bit better in your experience as an official, is there anything that you would think might be a good thing to at least try next year?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, I'm there since 2012, and you know, in that couple of years, you know, the pace of the game has changed, the way players approach it and the way they're prepared. You know, I definitely think we have to go down maybe the route of, you know, letting it get a bit more fit. Now, I don't mean going out and killing each other, but getting a bit more physical and letting the game flow, you know. I mean, it makes for a better spectacle if you can let a game flow a little bit better. I know rules are there, we have to adhere to them, but I think, yeah, let the game flow a little bit better, and maybe bringing in a little bit more, maybe the shoulder is what a lot of the players are looking for. In Camogie at the minute, you can shoulder. It's meant to be a non-contact sport, but
right.
I mean, it can't be a non-contact sport.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely, yeah.
But no, I think they should just maybe, there is a few rules there that need to be tweaked a little bit, I suppose. But I'd like to see let flow a little bit better, and as I say, a little bit more physicality.
Sports Beat Roundup on Beat 102-103.
Speaking of national competitions, St Michael's AFC from Tiptown were crowned 2018-19 FAI Junior Cup champions last Sunday, beating Dublin Giants Sheriff YC in the final at Terryland Park in Galway. The final came just 5 days before the draw of the first round of this year's competition was made, with delays and appeals on the other side of the draw to the Saints, pushing the final back over 10 weeks and denying the players an opportunity to play at the Aviva Stadium. However, it mattered little to St Michael's, who saw former Cork City and Limerick underage player Willie Armshaw net the winner. We spoke to him as the players returned to training on Wednesday, but first James Walsh, who has now won the competition with St Michael's as a player and a manager.
So delighted to be joined by St Michael's AFC manager James Walsh. James, first of all, congratulations. A win, a 1-0 win against Sheriff, always a very, very difficult opposition in more ways than one.
Yeah, I think everyone knows they've been the last 10 years, the last decade, they've been the best junior team in Ireland, and the results not only in the FAI Junior Cup but in the Dublin AUL and the Leinster Junior proves that. But we've met them four times in the last decade, and it's 2-2 after Saturday. So we've been evenly matched between penalties and 1-0 wins. That's what's been between us. So we knew we had a big shout going up on Saturday, and we were confident that if we performed, we were in with a really, really good chance. And thankfully, nearly the first 20-25 minutes, but after that we really started to get on top and play, and I think overall we deserve to get a win and thrilled, as I said.
You were part of the squad. I mean, obviously you know yourself, you guys had what, four or five finals losing on the losing side after the cup win in 74, so you know more than anybody else how precious these finals are and how important it is to perform on the day.
Yeah, I said it to some of our younger lads there on Saturday. It's their first year as St. Michael's first team players, and they won an FAI Junior Cup. I was first year in 1994, and it took me 20 years to win it. Yeah. So I said it to him, you don't know how lucky you are, and to treasure the moment and to treasure the time. So yeah, as a club, we've been knocking on the door. As you said, four finals since 2000 we've lost. Thankfully, we're now starting to put a few ticks on the side of it, and that's our third one now overall, and we're right up there now in terms of Roll of Honour, so we're thrilled. We topped off a really, really good year for us with the Munster and the Munster Champions and the domestic doubles, so it's been a really, really good time at the moment. 3 days after winning an FAI Junior Cup final, we've 19 lads here, and we're after doing a good physical session. They didn't appreciate it about half an hour ago, but we've done it and we've got through it, so I think that's it, you know, the dedication that you get from them, the commitment that you get from them.
It's kind of a strange year because obviously, just explain to us kind of what happened. Obviously, it wasn't on your side of the draw, but there were appeals, there were re-appeals, and it's just the thing got getting pushed back. So just kind of explain to us from your point of view how it all came about. Or...
Yeah, as you said, there was an appeal on the quarterfinal, two quarterfinals, and then that had to work through. And then there was an appeal on the semi-final, and that took a bit to work through. But like from our perspective, we were busy with Munster Juniors and Tipperary Leagues and stuff, and we knew that, you know, we couldn't do anything with it, and it was out of our control, so we decided that we just continue what we could do, and that's what we did. And then sometime in June we found out that it wasn't going to happen till August or September. So at that point we were off for as normal for end of season. Came back in the 25th of July, and at that point we knew it was going to be the 31st of August in Galway, so we focused our last six weeks of prep around the FAI Junior Cup final, and it was fine. It's a fine. Once we got over the initial disappointment of, I guess, not being in the Aviva, playing in the Aviva, it was fine. It was an FAI Junior Cup, and we knew no matter where it had to be played, we needed to win it, and that's what we did in Galway. The first round, the draw for the next FAI Junior Cup is on this Friday. So it is a different feeling, to the sense that typically you have 6 weeks off, or 6 or 8 weeks off of before you see each other again. Now we're in here Wednesday night training, so it is strange, but we get on with it. I think for us now, after winning in 2014, we won everything again, and in 2015 we didn't retain anything. So our focus this year now is to make sure we retain something and go after it again. So hopefully that'll prove to be this season.
Sure, heartbroken not to start. I started the whole way. So it's just luck of the draw. Really, we have a really good team, very good, unreal squad. Just flip of a coin, really, who'd start or not. And luckily, I got the wrong end of it, so I didn't start for sure. As you said, I came on, got the goal, couldn't be happier.
Just say a quick word to Chalky after the game, just to say it to him, just so.
No, sure. I at that stage, I didn't really care. I got the goal. Sure, after that we won it, sure, who cares what happened. We had two or three games left, sure. I think we won two or three trophies after the league and the cup, the Tip Cup, and then both the Munster competition, so we weren't short of matches anyway. But we trained away during the summer for two or three weeks, and then we got word it wouldn't be till October, so then we were able to take a break. Everyone wanted a break nearly at that stage.
To be fair to you, well clung the goal when it came. Was it just instinct? Because you had a bit of time, obviously you're running through on it, but was it just a case of instinct, or did you kind of think, had you time to think before you hit it?
Well, I was just running at him and I was kind of stalling and going where I go at him. And he tried to show me inside, so I took him inside and he just kicked it up off my leg. And when it's in the air like that, you can't not hit it, really. It's just real instinct. So you have a split second from the time it hit my leg to the time it was up in the air to the time I hit it. As soon as I left the foot, then I knew it was in. Well, sure, it's undescribable, really. It's a thing of dreams, really. The night before, I was thinking about scoring all right. Sure, you had the dreams that you'd be scoring the goal and that. But, I was expecting, a tap-in back post or something. It was never going to be something like that. You dream a goal like that. But sure, the amount of times that it happened is very slim.
Yeah, absolutely. When they won everything in 2014, 2015, they didn't retain anything. So how, as a squad or how as a player, do you kind of get rid of that complacency? You're trying to make sure you get at it straight away, because especially when you win a trophy so early in the season, it can be hard to kind of stay motivated then through the winter months.
These boys are a different bunch though. They're mad for trophies, Chris Higgins, Paul Breen, all they want to do is win. The more silverware they have in the pocket, the happier they are. So I'd say complacency won't be much of an issue this year, and hunger definitely won't be anyway. They're all mad to win trophies.
Sports Beat Roundup on Beat 102-103.
That's all for this week's Sports Beat Roundup. You can listen back on our SoundCloud at Beat 102 103. Now, Trish has the soundtrack to your Saturday night. She's up next with Beat Anthems.